shorter message today. It's not because of the pure water, pure love emphasis we had today. It's because since Ben preached last week, I knew I had to preach shorter than him so you'd appreciate me again, right? Don't want you to get spoiled. At the beginning of the service, Gary read for us from 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first five verses, where it talked about Timothy and the faith that was found in that young preacher, and how that faith had come from first his grandmother and his mother. As best we can figure, sometime during Paul's first missionary journey while he was at the city of Lystra, which is now in Turkey, that Timothy, a boy born to a devout Jewish woman and a pagan Greek father, came to Christ. As best we understand, during that first missionary journey of Paul, that we found Lois first and then Eunice, they come to a faith in Christ. And then that same faith then impacted the life of young Timothy, and he became a believer. Years later, when Paul came through Lystra again on the second missionary journey, it was then that young Timothy's new faith, flaming with a passion for the Lord, it was then that Timothy joined the missionary team of Paul and Silas and began his life of faith in the ministry. Young Timothy would grow to be eventually Paul's right-hand man. When Paul wanted to go to a town and he couldn't go there himself, he would send Timothy. When a church was having trouble, Paul would send young Timothy. So what's the point? The point is that children of godly parents who have a legacy of a real faith, those children have an advantage. Moms, I want you to listen close. Dads, this also applies to you. You can affect your children. Remember what the promise in Genesis chapter 20. We always tend to ignore this part of the Ten Commandments. But God gives us a promise there that those who love him, he will bless their family for 1,000 generations after them if they will but love the Lord. One advantage that those children have is God's promise. God promises his blessings. Now we all know Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, where we are told as parents to train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Doesn't mean a child won't ever stray, but it means that the child eventually will know where to return. No one influences a child's behavior more than parents. Harriet Ward Beecher once said, "A mother's heart is the child's schoolroom." Moms, your children learn by imitating, not listening to what you do. If you say the old adage, "Do what I say, not what I do," I guarantee you the children are going to do what you do rather than what you say. So there's the advantage of God's promise. But there's a second advantage that children of godly parents have, and that is they have the advantage of the example itself of a godly parent. You know, a godly parent's going to spend time praying. A godly parent's going to spend time in the Word. A godly parent is someone who simply walks with the Lord. And I tell you what, there's no better example for a child to have. What a child comes and says, "All my friends are doing this," or "At school they're doing this," and you look at that child and go, "But in our house, we serve the Lord and we don't do those things. That is a blessing to your children that will carry for the rest of their lives. I could hear parents sometimes when I talk to them say, you know, I have less influence over my kids than their friends and their teachers. I have less influence over my children than even the television. You know what? It is really a question about priority. And it's not a question about their priority. It's a question about your priority. It's a question about my priority as a parent. Children must spend not just quality time with a parent, but children must spend quantity time. If you don't take time for your children, how will your children know that you love them? How will your children ever know of your faith? How will you ever have those times where you can just say, yes, I've been there myself, and I know what you're going through, and here's how God helped me through that. Children listen to opinions. Do your children have the advantage of your opinions? Well, everybody has an opinion, but the only opinions that are worth anything, though, are those that are based on the Word of God. So if you have opinions built on your convictions of the Word of God, your children have an advantage. You know, there's another advantage that children of godly parents have. Those children have the advantage of discipline. Oh, some of you kids are going, wait a minute now. When you hear the word discipline, a lot of folks immediately think of spanking or time out in a corner or being grounded in the loss of privileges. Folks, that's not discipline. That's a chastisement or a punishment. Discipline is your behavior. It's a form of the word disciple. One follows another. Children of godly parents will see discipline modeled before them. They will see what it's like when a parent is tempted to take a shortcut, to take the easy way, to take the world's way. And if they have a godly parent, they'll see a parent that says, no, God says to do it this way, and I'm going to believe God, and that's the way I'm going to do it. The only way that your children will ever learn these truths is when they see it modeled in your life. There's another advantage I want to briefly touch on. Children of godly parents also have the advantage of the knowledge of God's Word. I remember what it was like as a youngster, studying the Word of God, even as a child, and was able to go to my mom and my dad or my grandparents and say, I don't understand this. Can you help me? Have you ever had your child bring schoolwork home? And they come to you, this, now that I have one in high school, about to graduate, you know, I had graduate statistics. I had upper level math in college, but I've forgotten a lot of it because it's been years and years and years. I struggle with the quadratic equation now. And I can have Dallas can come to me and say, Dad, could you help me with your homework? And you know what my answer's going to be? Go talk to your mom. That's what it's going to be. I had it one time, but because I didn't use it, because I didn't keep up with it, it was gone. Oh, don't let your child ever come to you with a question about, can you help me with this passage in the Bible? And you go, no, let's wait until we ask the preacher in church. Don't do that. Spend time in the Word. Know the Word. And be able to pass that knowledge to your children. And the last thing I want to share with you today, never underestimate the value of the advantage having your prayers. Your prayers. Yes, we know James 5:16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. But there's no prayer deeper felt, more moving in the heart of God than a mother's prayer. Mamas, when you pray for your children, two things happen. First of all, God moves to answer those prayers in accordance with His will. You know what that is, don't you? We're commanded to pray in the will of God. The Bible says two things that we know for sure are the will of God. Number one, for Jesus Christ to be glorified in the answering of that prayer. So if I pray that my children one day will be rich beyond their wildest dreams, to have a big house where they can put me in when I retire one day and take care of me, and if I pray that my children will always be healthy, that my children will always have, you know what? I'm praying the wrong thing. There's no promise. There's no guarantee from God about those things. God says, pray that my son, Jesus Christ, will be glorified. And what's the other thing? That people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Last Sunday, I wasn't here. This Mother's Day is a bit of a challenge for me. A minute ago, we sang Amazing Grace. When I saw that in the order of service, a little lump went in my throat because I sang that last Sunday at my grandmother's funeral. A little bit of a challenge. But that funeral was a celebration because she had a deep faith in the Lord. And because of her love for Jesus and her love for my dad, who was a stepson. My dad's real mom died when my dad was 11 years old, died with cancer. My grandfather, who was a rough alcoholic, never been to church, didn't know the Lord. Because of her influence, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. Because of her influence, her prayers for my dad when he was a teenager, he became a believer. Her prayers for her grandchildren are the reason I know today that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And I bet her prayers are the reason why my children have come to faith. Her legacy carries on. God answered her prayers for Jesus Christ to be glorified in her family and for people to come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. Mamas, what legacy are you going to leave with your children? What advantage will they have? If you're a godly woman, they'll have every advantage in the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the mothers you've given us. And God, I pray that you would help, though, each lady here to be a woman of faith, a woman of prayer. Father, a woman who will be an example in her home. Lord, I know that is what your plan for them is, not because I'm so smart, but because you have revealed it in your word. God, you've given us picture after picture in your scripture of what a godly woman can do in her family and the difference she can make in the world around her. So, Father, that is our prayer today. Lord, I pray that you would encourage our mothers, that you would lift them up, and that you would give them strength. Father, those that are going through very trying and difficult times right now in their personal lives, Lord, help them to have faith, to trust you, to believe in you, to live according to the principles of your word. Father, by your Spirit, carry them. Father, for those who are relatively new at being moms, and Lord, they're wondering, what do I do now? Father, I pray for them and ask, Lord, that you would let them turn to you. for the source of wisdom and guidance as they raise their children. And Lord, thank you again for each of them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to a moment of invitation, I ask you to stand. If you've ever given your life to Christ, the invitation is here. The invitation is